Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 17, 2016, or the Sabbath 19, 2020. We'll start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, He Hideth My Soul. How wonderful, Savior, is Yosef my King. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. With numberless blessings each moment He crowned, and filled with His fullness defined. I sing in my rapture, O glory to Yah, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. When clothed in His brightness, transported I arrive to meet Him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with a million's on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
Ezekiel's River, we're going to do that service today, for our service, that is. And this is found in the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 290. The River of Ezekiel's Vision. I said it was previously explained that Zechariah's prophecy is applicable unto the church in the time of the loud cry. Thus it becomes present truth. We quote from Zechariah 12:8, "And that day shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them, before the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. The church in her purity is called by these scriptures the house of David. Therefore, this term becomes one of the names of the church in the time of the loud cry." Okay. So this becomes one of the names of the Seventh-day Adventist church in the time of the loud cry. Therefore, this term becomes one of the names of the church in time of the loud cry. Thus, the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventists under this name shall be as the Yahweh. Let's do that again. For the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist church in her purity, that would be after the 144,000 are brought forth, and the first fruits of the harvest of the Seventh-day Adventist church, and the Seventh-day Adventist church is planed off, the mother, as we know it today. And so, therefore, the new Seventh-day Adventist church would be called by another name. One of them would be the House of David. Okay. So it says, for the congregation, the new congregation of the 144,000, that is part of the House of David. The House of David is from the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. One of the 12 tribes, and it's the ruler, Judah. Judah is the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. And so the house of David then rules over the other 11 tribes, okay, of the 144,000. Therefore, this term becomes one of the names of the purified congregation of Israel in the time of the loud cry. That's in the 12th hour now, see? That's what it says there in Isaiah 65:14-15. I'll slay thee and call my servants by a new name. So you're going to slay mother. It says so there in the Hosea's prophecy. Hosea says that mother's done away with. It's her daughters and her sons that survive and carry on her work. Thus, the new congregation, remember this name, shall be as the Yahweh, the Father, before the people. And as Zechariah 12:8 says, the angel, I believe it says, the house of David becomes an angel, like an angel, or Yahweh before the people. The meaning here is the same as in Exodus 7:1. And Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god. I have made you a deity unto Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, Aaron, the brother of Moses, was appointed as a prophet to Moses. And Moses made as the Yahweh to Pharaoh. Okay. That is, thou shalt represent my person and act like me by requiring obedience unto my commands, unto thy commands, and by punishing disobedience with such punishment as none but Yahweh can inflict, unto which end thou shalt have my omnipotent assistance. Okay, now the house of David is in charge now of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's who we represent here. The Gilead Center, we represent the headwaters of this Ezekiel 47 river that we're reading about. This fountain opened for sin and uncleanness there in Zechariah 13. This is that river. This is that flowing river. This is that same thing as that fountain, flowing for sin and uncleanness. Okay. Now, you know what a river, you know what a river, flowing river does. It picks up all the debris that's thrown into it. All of the waste material on the banks of the river that get caught up in the river is carried downstream. And where does that river end up? It goes into the great ocean. It ends up eventually going into the great ocean. And you know what the waves of the ocean are for? They wash all debris in the ocean up on the shores. And then you have people that come along and cleans the shoreline of all the debris that's washed up on the shore. And that's how the earth recycles itself. All right. This is the commission unto the kingdom of heaven here restored on earth. With the visible name, one of the visible names is the Kingdom of David. Okay. In the time of the harvest. For the Apostle Peter was vested with such divine power when he said, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Yahweh." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave the ghost, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Then Peter said unto her, "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Acts 5:4, 5:7, 9, and 10. So in that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David, and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Note that this fountain is able to wash away two things, first sin and second uncleanness. What is the difference between the one and the other? Sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4, and the result of sin is the decay of the body. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. Leviticus 15:2. For the biblical term for sickness is uncleanness, also taken into the body in the form of food, of that which is forbidden by the word of Yahweh is transgression of the law and corruption of the body, uncleanness. Okay, it says that, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing." So if the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventists are practicing all these unclean practices, then if you know that what is unclean and that they are unclean, well, then you're not to worship with them anymore. You're to come out from among them. Okay? "And I will receive you," 2 Corinthians 6:17. "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of the Yahshua and of the Yahweh, the Father. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in Yahweh. Walk as children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of the darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:5. 8:11. Yahweh is able to heal the soul and the body, and he will not heal the latter before he has healed the former. Sin first, and then uncleanness. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Ezekiel 36:39. The power that is able to wash away the filthiness of any man is open unto the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and is represented by the fountain of Zechariah's prophecy. Says Ezekiel, in the 25th year of our captivity, and in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, and the selfsame day the hand of Yahweh was upon me, and brought me thither. Ezekiel 40:1. As recorded in the 47th chapter, Ezekiel was shown in vision certain particulars of the temple building some years before the Israelites were made free from the Babylonian captivity. It has been previously explained that the temple erected after their captivity was the type of this particular congregation in the time of the loud crown, house of David. Therefore, the river coming out from the temple, according unto the Ezekiel's vision, is applicable at this time, and it is but the expansion of this fountain that is to be in the house of David, the congregation of Israel. From this fountain flows the mighty river, seen in Ezekiel's vision, Counsels on Health, page 210, Ellen G. White. Thus far we have explained the application of this fountain, the place and the time also that the mighty river seen in the Ezekiel's vision flows from it. Now we shall study the meaning of this mighty river. Ezekiel 47:1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar, and the waters came from the south side of the altar and then went toward the east. It shows clearly that they proceeded from the north, which symbolically denotes that whatever the meaning of the waters may be, they come from the throne of Yahweh, for it is in the sides of the north. Isaiah 14:14, Psalms 48:2 and 75:6. While Ezekiel's attention was turned unto the interior, where he first saw the waters, he said, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side, and when the man that had the line in his right hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, for the waters were up to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, for the waters were up to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, for the waters were up to the loins. Afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the rivers were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed, and it shall come to pass, that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because their water shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according unto their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the marred places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given unto Saul. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf fig shall not fade, and neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. They shall bring forth new fruit according unto his month, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:2-12. It will be noticed that as Ezekiel first saw the waters by the side of the altar, they were of little significance in comparison with that which he saw outside the gate. As the tiny rivulet immediately swells into a mighty river, it represents something of very rapid growth. These waters denote the same as the waters in the Revelation 17:15, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. For the angel said unto Ezekiel, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. Ezekiel 47:8. Therefore, these waters represent a very great multitude which no man could number, that shall be healed from sin and disease, saved in the time of the loud cry through the ministry of the house of David, the house of Yahweh. As Ezekiel could not swim this river. Now I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read that last sentence again. For the angel said unto the Ezekiel, that being brought forth into the sea, for the water shall be healed. Ezekiel 47:8. Therefore, these waters represent a very great multitude that no man could number, that shall be healed from sin and disease, saved in the time of the loud cry through the ministry of the house of David, the true congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The purified section of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is this house of David. As Ezekiel could not swim this river, for the symbol is in the perfect harmony with the Revelation 7:9. A great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Note that the reason that the waters are healed is because they are brought forth into the sea. Now, what is a sea? It means eternity. It means that they have entered into immortality. Okay, now, where do we get that back in from the scriptures? We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we get that backing. So it says in 1 Corinthians 15, start with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay. Now, Donald Trump represents the last servant that Yahweh has raised up to be in charge, to put in charge of the kingdom of Babylon. Now, the first king that was raised up in the top to be in charge of the kingdom of Babylon was Nebuchadnezzar. And then the second king that was to be put in charge of Babylon from another nation was Cyrus, which was the king of the Persians. Now look at this. So in these last days, in this 12th hour that we're in now, when the last trump, okay, for the trumpet shall sound. What is the last trump? It is the seventh trumpet. Now we find there in Revelation, chapter 8, verse, I believe, 2 and 6, it talks about the seven trumpets. Okay? So now you have seven trumpets, and there's a seventh trumpet that sounds. When it comes time for it to sound, and it sounds in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. So, when are we going to be changed? We're going to be changed at the last trump. At the last trump. So Donald Trump is in charge of the seventh dominion now. The seventh dominion of time. In these last days, we're in the seventh dominion. And he represents the seventh trump. And his name is Trump. He represents the seventh trumpet. And this is the period of time that we're going to, the saints are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This is when they enter into eternity, eternal life. It's when they're changed from this corruptible to incorruptible. And that's at the sealing of the saints, starting with the 144,000. When 144,000 are sealed and come forth and receive those three seals on them that Revelation 3:12 says they have to have, when they appear with those three seals, then you know that they have been changed from mortality to immortality. That death flees away. It has no more dominion over them. It says so right here in 1 Corinthians 15. This prophecy that Paul had, talking about this end time and in the 12th hour, I'll read it to you. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Okay? So death is swallowed up in victory. When the saints come through the antipical Pentecost, that's what happened in the typical Pentecost. They came through the typical Pentecost, and all those that are sealed 2,000 years ago at the Pentecost, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternal life, right then and there. Once they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on them, and they went out and started their ministry to their brethren, they had eternal life. They were without sin. They were immortal. That's your type. Even though they died some time later, all of them, and went into the grave, that's just a temporary sleep. Because when they their names was retained in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so therefore, when their call comes here in the end time, which will be in this 12th hour that we're in right now, then they're going to come forth to join the living saints, 144,000, and all of those that are harvested into the house of David, where the 144,000 are, because 144,000 are the harvesters that go and get their brethren from all nations, the Gentile brethren, which are kinfolks to the Hebrew Israelites of the 12 tribes. They are actually blood kin. Okay? So it says, O death, in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Okay, for the sting of death is sin. Okay, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto Yahweh, which giveth us the victory through our Savior Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Yahweh, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Yahweh. Now, concerning the collection for this, okay, that's for the 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the congregations of the house of Yahweh of Galatia, and that's your Gentiles. There's your Gentiles right there. But they're the house of Yahweh. They're an Israelite congregation. Okay. Now let's go on back to our study. Let's go back to it here and Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. We're in the last sermon of Ezekiel's 47 River. And we're on page 295. It says, note that the reason that the waters are healed is because they are brought forth into the sea of eternal love. And the sea also means in the midst of all the people in the world that have their names on the Lamb's Book of Life to be saved. Those that are in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is who the living saints will join. Because all these folks in the Lamb's Book of Life have been resurrected from Adam clear on down to now. And so when the resurrection starts taking place here, after the outpouring of the Pentecostal power, that's when the resurrection will start. Okay. If the mighty river represents the saints from the earth, then the sea must be a symbol of the sinless world and inhabitants in the universe of Yahweh. As the river is brought into the sea, it denotes that the saints shall come in contact with the eternal nation who know not sin, and being brought forth, we must be healed before we meet each other. The facts of this symbol prove that this is the last section of Yahweh's congregation, the church that shall be translated without tasting death. So this last section is in the 12th hour. It's the 144,000. That's the last section of the Seventh-day Adventist church. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We are now standing on the winds of eternity. Life that shall never cease. For the waters that make up this mighty river represents a multitude of saints endowed with the healing power from the throne of Yahweh, for the word says, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. Ezekiel 47:9, last part. For this healing is not indefinite, but permanent. For we read, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live eternally. You get that? Wherever this Ezekiel River, this is the truth coming out of the sanctuary, the kingdom restored, the kingdom of heaven restored here on earth with antithetical King David in charge of it, the visible king, and the visible king and the invisible king, Yahshua, the Messiah. So this kingdom of heaven has two kings that are in charge, have been placed in charge of this kingdom. Yahshua, the invisible one, that's giving all the instruction day by day, like he did to Moses in that cloud 3,500 years ago when they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They said, after the angel, let's continue reading, after the angel had measured 3 times 1,000 cubits, says Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and called me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side, and on the other, and by the river upon the bank thereof, said the angel, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for me, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be concerned. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his mind, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:6-7-12. For the value of the leaves and the fruit of these trees is identically the same as the tree of life, according to Revelation 22:2. And on either side of the river was there a tree of the life. Oh, okay. So now this Ezekiel River, it has trees growing on each side of the bank of it, and that's right here in this 12th hour that we're in now. This is the harvest of the world, folks. This Ezekiel River going to all nations. And whatsoever it touches, whatever this water comes in contact with and touches, it heals it. And it's gonna flow by and touch all nations of the earth. It's gonna go to the four corners of the earth, which bear 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. For the significance is that the church of Yahweh's house of David is endowed with the power from the throne to offer life eternal with no taste of the death unto those who accept the truth and are willing to become part of this mighty river. As this is the only church of the Yahweh's house that has been granted the authoritative teaching of the plan of salvation, of the permanent healing and life everlasting, for the word declares. And the word, John 1:14, says, became flesh and dwelt among us. So this is Yahshua then declaring this. The Son, he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because their waters shall come thither. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglaim. Their fish shall be according unto their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Ezekiel 47:9-10. The fish represent those who are to be converted unto the church, unto the house of Yahweh, the house of David. This is one of the names for the house of Yahweh. River. And this river represents the house of Yahweh, the house of David. House of Yahshua. This is all three. Yahweh, Yahshua, and David, the visible ruler here on earth. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. Ezekiel 47:9. For the ministry is symbolized as the fishes. Okay. And Yahshua said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. Okay, it says, for the apostles at one time left the plan of salvation net, teaching of the plan of salvation. They left that net, and when it says they left the net, it means they stopped working for the house of David. That's what they were commissioned for, is to work for the house of David back then, house of heaven, house of Yahweh, and ceased to be fishers of men, as they went fishing for gain. They said, well, it all fell in a heap. We've got to go back, and we just got to go try to make a living again. Said, yeah, sure. Boy, he died, and oh, man, it's all over with. And that night they taught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yahshua stood on the shore. Then Yahshua said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. John 21:3-6. Success never fails when the command of the master is obeyed. If the ministry had been constantly inquiring of Yahshua where and how to cast the net, there would have been a multitude of fish converts and never a lack of meat or means. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, Ezekiel 47:1. For the position of the house proves that it represents a true worship. For thus Yahweh's chosen people were instructed to build their temples. Israel worshiped Yahweh with their backs toward the east to remind them that they should have no respect for sun worship and idolatry. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Ezekiel 47:8. It is remarkable to note how perfect these symbols are in each instance. This direction of the compass denotes that the message of the loud cry is to start eastward when it is first revealed. For the congregation of the house of Yahweh, membership being largely east of California and across the Atlantic, naturally, the message must start toward the east. This symbolical prophecy reveals that the message of the loud cry is to originate in California, thus fulfilling the prophetic words of the spirit of the prophecy in a letter unto Elder E.E. Andros. I feel confident, Elder Andros, that the brethren in Southern California will find a blessing in reviewing the teachings of the scripture concerning the 144,000 and bringing to bear upon these teachings whatever light there be may be in the published writings of the spirit of prophecy. And as a prayerful consideration is given to matter, given the matter and all is bearing, I believe that Yahweh will make the truth sufficiently clear to make possible the avoidance of the needless and unprofitable questions not vital unto the salvation of the precious souls. Okay, it says, Easter being the biblical direction of idolatry, it also signifies that the message is headed toward the conversion of sinners and the destruction of the idolatry. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua the host, that I will cut off the name of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Zechariah 13:2. The angel measured 4 times 1,000 cubits eastward, 1,000, 10 times 100. Why 4 times 1,000? Why not more or less? It has been previously explained that number 10 is a symbol of the universal, and the number 4, completeness of the earth, are the 4 points of the compass. Thus, it symbolically denotes that the message is worldwide. And while it starts toward the east, it spreads from pole to pole and encircles the earth completely. 10 by 100 equals 1,000, 4 times. In perfect harmony with the words of Yahshua, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14.
But the marred places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given unto Saul. Okay, Ezekiel 47:11. For the marshes and the marred places represent denominations and sects. That would be a separate of the mighty river. So, if you don't belong to the house of Yahweh, the everlasting kingdom of heaven set up here on earth, the house of Yahweh is the same thing as the house of David. That's in charge of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, with Yahshua as the power that he has given to his kingdom that he has set up with his visible king. Yahshua, the invisible king, has been put in charge of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and he's here invisibly, but he's here, and that they shall not be saved or healed. Turn to Saul means eternally lost, as was Lot's wife. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, remember Lot's wife, Luke 17:26-28:32. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglaim, the two cities shall be a place to spread forth nets. Ezekiel 47:10. These two cities reveal that the fish are caught in two places. Engedi, the Seventh-day Adventist house of Yahweh, where the 144,000 are gathered, the first fruits. Eneglaim, Babylon of the or the world, where the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 are gathered. The diagram on the chart, page 294, represents the SDA Church in Gedi as it becomes the house of David, and the place of the river in Eglium denotes the world. The stream from the fountain, where it first starts to the east, Yate represents 144,000, and the river stands for the great multitude. There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of Yahweh, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Yahweh is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her. And that right early, Psalms 46:4-5. Okay. That brings the end of this study here as far as the Ezekiel's river that we have just brought to you. But let's go on now to the next little bit of a topic here that goes real good with this. Well, let's just do a little review about this Ezekiel's River. It's the kingdom here on earth set up. There's going to be a restoration of all things. This whole world is going to be restored. All the wicked are going to be destroyed off of it. They're going to be burned up. They're going to be destroyed. Those that have died and gone on that didn't have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life to be resurrected, to be associated with the righteous, they will be left in their graves here on this earth. But this earth is going to be restored. Right here, Yahweh's hand's not short. He's going to do it right before the eyes, not only of this world, but of the universe. He's going to show the universe that he can do anything he wants to and needs to. And anything that goes out of his mouth, he's going to perform it. And so, Ezekiel 47 river is a continuation from the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Okay, let's go to Time of Greetings, Volume 1, number 18. Let's go and pick up on page 16. It says, start with Zechariah 13, 3 and 5. And it's, matter of fact, this whole time of greetings is on Zechariah 13. Let's start with verse 1. It says in Zechariah 13, 1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. The phrase in that day points back to the preceding events, back to the 12th chapter. There we find that the event is the great mourning in Jerusalem, chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. So in that day, in the day of that great mourning, the fountain is to be opened. To find the time in which the mourning takes place, it is necessary that we go further back into the 12th chapter. Better still, we should review the chapter from the first verse on, because there are brought to view seven groups of separate and distinct events, one following the other. Let's read this again. For the finding of the time in which the mourning takes place, it is necessary that we go further back into the 12th chapter. Better still, we should review the chapter from the first verse on, because there are brought to view seven groups of separate and distinct events, one following the other. For the outstanding events of each group are these. Number one, Jerusalem is to be made a cup of trembling, and the nations of the earth are to be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Number two, in that day the nations are to gathered together against them. Number three, in that day, the Yahweh is to smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and he is also to open his eyes upon the house of Judah. The governors of the Judah are then to say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Yahweh, and the Yahshua of the host, their Savior, or their King, the King of Israel. Number four, in that day Jerusalem is to be inhabited again. Number five, in that day he that is feeble among them is to be as the David, and the house of David is to be as the Yahweh. In that day the Yahweh is to seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. He will then pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Number seven, in that day there is to be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Thus one event is contingent upon another, the last of which is the great mourning in Jerusalem. In the day of these events, therefore, the fountain for sin and for uncleanness is open. Let us now connect Zechariah 13:1 with the verse 2. Okay, it says, in that day, in the great mourning takes place, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David, and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Two things stand out clearly in these verses. Number one, that the house of David must come into the existence before the cleansing fountain is open. Number two, that the cleansing begins with the cutting off the names of the idols and throwing out of the land the false prophet and the unclean spirit. In our previous study of the 10th chapter of Zechariah, we learned that these idols are the kind that speak. That they are men. There is no doubt, therefore, that these are ministering brethren who the laity are idolizing. And my prophet and pastor, my past one, Brother Steady Johnson at Gilead Center, Mount Zion in the 11th hour, at Kermit, Texas from 1970 to 2003, he was the last of the walking, talking idols that had the office of inspiration for to delivering present truth and the restoring of the sanctuary unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he accomplished his mission. But then when he got through, he
wondered why Yahshua didn't come then. And he got tired of waiting, and he says, well, I guess he delayeth his coming. And he began to eat and drink with the drunken, and to smite his fellow servants, and be classified with the house of the hypocrites. So Yahshua had to finally come at the appointed time and reckon with him and question him as to what he did with his talent. And you know the rest of the story. Yahshua had to cut him off and give the talent to the one that was standing next to him that had the 10 talents, and that was Elijah David. That's myself speaking to you. And he gave me the talent that with this slothful servant had squandered. And so I got the talent and added to my 10 that I have, and now I have 11 talents. And I got to do something with all 11 of them, or he's going to take the 11 from me and give it to somebody else that's standing nearby waiting to be commissioned to go into the great battle. Okay, as a result, the laity are blindly following them, and whatever decisions their idols make concerning what is with the truth and what is with the error, what is with the sin and what is with the righteousness, those are the decisions that the laity does carry out. For these idols, therefore, are creating a situation similar unto that which the priests, scribes, and Pharisees created in the days of Yahshua's first advent. Consequently, the idol worshippers are not troubling themselves for the personally investigating of the fresh messages, and they are thereby ignorantly following men rather than the Yahshua and his advancing truth. For these, along with the prophets and the unclean spirits, shall pass out of the land. Okay, so now there you have it. Zechariah 13:3-5. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Yahshua. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. For the name of the idols, the flattering titles of men, shall forever be forgot. Work for the night is coming. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor, a rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying bandit something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset sky. Work while their bright tints are glowing. Work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam faded. Faded to shine no more.